with her children, or in the city 9 to 5 each working day.
She's a mother or a teacher or a woman all alone,
but she's someone else entirely when she prays. She's a prayer warrior, down on her knees, wrestling with power and principalities, standing in the gap for others, for sisters and her brothers, reaching heaven with her heart. Prayer warrior.
We don't see her many nights of intercession, or the tears she sheds with every whispered prayer.
And we may not see the secret things hidden in her heart,
but the eyes of God are watching her. She's a prayer warrior, down on her knees, wrestling with power and principalities, standing in the gap for others, for her sisters and her brothers, reaching
she's crashed through Satan's stronghold,
reaching heaven with her prayers.
She's a prayer warrior, down on her knees,
wrestling with power and principle. Sisters and her brothers, reaching heaven with her heart.
Oh, she has touched the very heart of God.
Prayer warrior. Prayer.
Well, thank you, ladies, very much. And I hope you have memories of a mother that has been a prayer warrior for you. Two of those three ladies are mothers. Brother Bob, could you do something? I'm not quite where I need to be. Two of those ladies are mothers, and the third one is a want-to-be mother, but there's a couple of three steps that's got to be taken beforehand. One is she's got to find a fella and get married. And then... And by the way, in that order. All right. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. One of the more difficult services for me to preach every year is our Mother's Day service, not because I did not have a good mother, I did. But because of the memories that are so precious, so grateful. As the ladies were singing, I could not help but think of my mother. The one thing she did over and over and over and over again that I could not get away from and I cannot forget is her prayers for me, and then when I got married, for me and my family, and then when I was called into the ministry, for me and the ministry. And I'm so grateful for her influence. If you have found your place in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, would you stand with me, and I shall begin to read in verse number 1. Paul said, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded." That's the little G-O-D. That's the devil. "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Now I want you to notice verse number 7 for our message this morning, and the statement, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us." Heavenly Father, help me this morning as we bring this message. Lord, help me to turn it to a Mother's Day message that will be used to challenge our hearts and our lives concerning our relationship with family and our responsibility to God as parents. Now, Father, I need your help. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit. I would be foolish to think that I can stand here in my understanding and ability and preach the message as you would have it preached. I'm asking you to fill me, to empower me, to anoint me, so that I might preach the message that would honor you and touch the hearts of people on this day. We thank you for mothers, and we ask on this day especially they might get the attention and recognition and appreciation that they deserve. And then I pray that they might realize today also that as mothers, they have a great responsibility before God. One day, they shall answer to God for their responsibility and the way they performed their ministry of being a mother. Help me this morning. In Jesus' name, we thank you in advance for every decision that shall be made. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Paul said, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." The context of this passage is simply that God has given to every Christian the ministry of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to an unsaved and uncaring world. Paul describes the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And as our ministry and our responsibility to declare, and he tells us that it's a treasure. It's a treasure. We have this treasure, he says, in earthen vessels. That is, we live and perform this ministry in a body of flesh. And by the way, God does not intend for any of our earthen vessels to be crackpots. Okay? I thought I'd just throw that in. We're to glory in Christ and not in the earthen vessel. We don't have anything to glory in ourselves. We are but sinners saved by God's grace. We've been rescued from an eternity in hell by the mercy and the grace of God based on the finished work of Jesus for us on the cross. Now, I do not want to major on the context of this passage today, but rather think about the statement, treasure in an earthen vessel. And I want to talk about one of the many treasures God has given to mankind. This being Mother's Day, I want to speak on this subject. Mother, a treasure in an earthen vessel. That means our mothers aren't perfect. They too are sinners saved by grace. But oh my, they are God's gift to a family. They're God's gift to little children. They're entrusted with the task of raising and training the heritage of God. The Bible says, "Lo, children are a heritage of God." They belong to God. And mothers are given that task of training and bringing up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is their ministry. Paul is talking about ministry, the ministry of giving out the gospel to a lost world. And I want to reuse that to emphasize the ministry of a mother in raising children that would honor and glorify God. God did not give mothers the responsibility to raise children to be doctors and lawyers and businessmen first, or women, but to be children that will love and honor God with their life. Children that will grow up with values and character and decency for the glory of God. This is intended for every mother, and it's God's plan that every child have a home with a mother that is committed to raising them for good and for God. Mothers have been given a ministry to give birth and to train God's heritage for Him and His glory. One of the two most influential people in my life was my mother. And so it's intended to be so in every child's life. She taught me, my mother taught me not to be ashamed of who I am. Though I was the son of a sharecropper, and our livelihood, as little as it was provided by honest, hardworking parents. And I was never ashamed of being their son. I never wanted to be somebody else's child. I never wanted to have I never desired to have different parents. And as I grew older, I told my mom and dad on many, many occasions, if I could choose today any parent in the world, I'd choose them. Though uneducated, she was filled with the wisdom of God and His Word. May I say, every mother needs that today. More than you need a degree from a college, you need to be trained and taught in the wisdom of God's Word and not the wisdom of the world. Character was transferred from mother's life and spirit to her children. Now I want you to know, mother, you can't teach your children what you don't have. You can't give them what you don't have. You can't give them anything that will benefit their life more than good character and a strong dependency and faith upon the Word of God and the God of the Word. I thank God for a mother who turned a simple sharecropper's house into a home. She had the ability to turn a country meal into a banquet feast fit for a king. Mother could cause the tears of a little boy's eyes to stop flowing, and she could calm the fears of a troubled heart with her touch. When I think of mother and her silver hair and her wrinkled brow and fingers twisted by arthritis, oh, it was all just another part of that earthen vessel in which mother dwelt, and was just added beauty when seen through the eyes of a returning prodigal who had been welcomed home by godly love and forgiveness. Mothers are a treasure from God, and that treasure is housed in an earthen vessel. Because they are human, because they live in this earthen vessel, a body, they're not perfect. They have flaws. But oh, my soul, what God can do with that earthen vessel when it's yielded to God and dedicated to God. I want you to consider just a few thoughts about mothers as a treasure in earthen vessels. First of all, mothers are God's design to deliver and nurture His heritage in this wicked world. Our kids don't have much of a chance if they don't have a good mama and daddy. They are greatly hindered and hurt in their upbringing if they do not have a good, godly mother and father. Mothers are the handiwork of God. They are God's design. Theirs is a divine mission. They're designed by God not only to give birth to God's heritage, but also to nurture God's heritage. Father may be the spiritual head of the family, but mother's the heart. She's the life and the warmth of the home. When I think of home, I don't think about a house. I don't think about a farm or a ranch. When I think about home, I think about mother. When I think of all the things that have made a difference in my life for good and for God, I have to think about mother. Some of the great men in our history have made unbelievable statements about their mothers. John Quincy Adams, President of the United States, said, "All that I am, my mother made me." Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my mother." The evangelist D.L. Moody, who shook two continents and had more than 1 million converts in his day, he said, "All that I have ever accomplished in life, I owe to my mother." Napoleon, the leader of France, said, "Let France have good mothers, and France will have good sons." Oh, what a great statement. The artist Benjamin West said, "A kiss from my mother made me a painter, an artist." The famous preacher of the 1800s, Henry Ward Beecher, said, "The memory of my sainted mother is the brightest recollection of my early years." And I want you to know my earliest memories as a little boy are of my mother. Mothers present this morning, if you want to see what your children will be like in 15 or 20 years, it might be good for you to stop and take a look at your own life and your own example. God intended them to be the ministry and the handiwork of mothers. They're your flock. They're your parish. They're your ministry. And we must not neglect it. We must not compromise it. We must give our interest, our heart, our life to that responsibility God has set before us. Oh, mothers, you cannot skimp here. Mothers one day must answer to God for how they've raised and affected and too often infected their children. Let me say in the second place, consider some of the great mistakes mothers make today. Some of the great mistakes mothers make today. I hope not one of these can be ascribed to your life. Too many mothers major on the glamour and beauty of the earthen vessel more than they do their divine mission in life. And that's a mistake. My mother would not win a beauty contest as far as the world is concerned. She was never fashionable. For years, her fashions were determined by the pattern on the flower sacks holding the flowers she bought. But when I think of her and her contribution to my life and her sacrifices for me and her prayers for me and her tears for me, and oh, she'd get the first place in that contest. Another mistake is that too often mothers disagree and contradict in front of their children the leadership and direction of the father. What a great, terrible mistake that is for children to grow up hearing you contradict the leadership of the father. You say, "But he was wrong." Then deal with it in private. Not in front of your children. Your children does not need to see a home divided. They do not see a mama and daddy. They do not need to see a mama and daddy at war. A third great mistake is too many mothers major on being best friends with her children instead of being their mother. They can find best friends their age, but they need mothers. Mothers that will guide, mothers that will correct, mothers that will say no, mothers that will discipline. Another great mistake made today by mothers is they major on their children being popular and fashionable instead of majoring on character, principles, and godliness. Another great mistake made today by many mothers is they rescue their children from every difficulty they get themselves into. Somewhere the child must learn that they're responsible for wrong choices and decisions. If you keep bailing them out, they're going to keep doing wrong. Somewhere they must learn that they have responsibility and their decisions in life has consequences, and mamas and daddies can't take those consequences on themselves all the time. What a terrible mistake being made. A child must be taught that they're responsible for wrong choices and decisions. It's better for them to learn the consequences of wrong and foolish decisions while the incidents are not of great consequences. Because there's coming a time when a judge and a policeman and a court of law is not going to allow mama and daddy to get them out of it. You're going to wish 10,000 times you would have taught them differently. Another great mistake made today by mothers is that some always take the child's side and the child's word against authority. I hate to tell you, mothers, my children have lied to me before. And yours have too. In fact, some of you are thinking right now of lies you told to mama, and mama believed you and stood up for you when you were dead wrong. Mama taught you that next time you get in trouble, lie again to try to get out of it. But one of these days, you're not going to be able to tell enough lies. The truth will find you out, the Bible says. Another great mistake made today by mothers is they don't teach the child to love God, to love the Bible, and love church more than worldly things. And if we're going to teach that, we've got to teach it early in their life. And Jesus tells us the greatest commandment of all is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength, and all thy mind. Where are our children going to learn it? They learn it best when they learn it at mother and daddy's knees early in life. And they learn it best not just by hearing it, but seeing it practiced by mom and dad. Another mistake moms make is not putting forth every effort to win the child to Christ before their 12th birthday. We have a narrow window in child rearing. And our responsibility to instill character and truth and principle in that child begins before birth. And if we have not got the majority of that done by the age 12, you're going to have some problems, big problems. You see, something happens around 12 and 13 years old. Our sweet little children become ding-a-lings. They go brain dead. They don't hear anything except their flesh and their friends. And if they've got nothing but flesh and wrong friends, they're in a world of hurt. But if mama has instilled principles of the Word of God and daddy and mama have instilled good character into those children, those children will help them, that character and those principles will help them through the tough years. And you say, well, I bring them to church and I expect the church to teach that. Dear God, we can't teach something 1 or 2 hours a week and you unteach it 7 days a week. We're trying our best to teach right and teach character, and we have to fight moms and dads every day to do it. That's a great mistake that's being made today, and a mistake that's got a terrible consequence to it. One of these days, you're going to wish 10,000 times you had another chance, but you don't have a second chance to raise your children. That little old narrow window passes by so quickly. If we don't do our diligence from before they're born until they're 12 and teach them and train them and do everything we can to give them the gospel and try to get them saved. We're going to lose more of them. Stats show that the greatest number of people that saved are saved before their 12th birthday. The greatest number of people are saved between their 12th and 17th birthday. That's the second greatest number. And stats show that if they're not saved by age 18, 85% of them never will get saved. If you got saved after 18 years of age, I want you to know you're in a small minority of people. You ought to thank God 10,000 times that you've gotten saved. You've been born again. Another mistake that's made by parents is giving the child everything they want without the child earning it. Here's a terrible mistake. All of us have said it. Well, I want my children to have it better than I had it. Well, my children would have been better off if they went through the lifestyle I lived. If they had to work like I had to work and they experienced the discipline that I experienced. You can't skimp and trim the discipline and correction and character and good work ethic, and somehow expect your child to turn out all right. One thing for sure, when our children grow up in our home and leave home and they don't live like we want them to live, we can't point the finger at everybody else. Another great mistake made is not admitting the child does wrong. And then exercising proper discipline to correct them. You know, we have some members of our church whose children have never done anything wrong. So they said. Listen, the Bible tells us to nurture them, to admonish them, to chasten them. We have that. That's part of the upbringing. Nurturing, chastening, instructing, and correcting are all part of the proper discipline and training to instill moral correctness, curb passions, and cultivate the soul of that individual child. Another great mistake made by mothers and parents is living life by a double standard. One way at church and another way in private at home. Oh, what a terrible thing. We've caused confusion in the life of the child. We've established uncertainty in the life of the child. Which way is right? I'll tell you which way they'll follow. Not the way you live at church in public, but the way you live in private. Another great mistake made by parents today. Parents lying for their children. Lying for their children. You ever done that? You ought to get on your knees and ask God to forgive you. First of all, it's a sin to lie, and to lie and your child know you lied for them is to encourage the worst form of life, the lowest form of character. Do what you want to do, lie your way out of it. The only thing, you can't lie your way out of it. If you're a child of God, you're not going to sin and get by with it. We taught in my Bible class today in 1 Peter chapter 2 where Jesus said that God's Word said that Jesus was the chief cornerstone. But for those that were disobedient, He was a rock of offense and a stone of stumbling, which he had appointed for the disobedient. He said, it's my predetermined will that if Christians sin, you're going to stumble. Boy, when you fall on the rock, it hurts. It hurts. I wanted to give you some of the mistakes that we have to deal with all the time. And mothers make them. Now you say, you're putting down mothers. I'm saying, no, we have the treasure of mother in an earthen vessel. It's not perfect. We make mistakes. And sometimes we do wrong willfully. But thank God we have a God that's willing to forget. And I pray that mothers might come to realize that when we blow it, get on our knees and cry out to God for forgiveness. Tell our children we blew it. Ask them to forgive them and begin to do things right. Do things in a way that God is honored and our children are instructed. No one can take the place of mother. Every mother must realize that you're shaping the mind and the life of your children. Their future is in your hands. They'll bear the marks of your upbringing all their life long. And thirdly, mother, only you can determine whether you will become that treasure in an earthen vessel or just fool's gold. Many a man's been disappointed as he prospected looking for gold, finding that shiny yellow object, only to find out it was worthless because it was fool's gold. God does not intend for any mother to be fool's gold. It is His plan and His will that you become that treasure in an earthen vessel. The way you meet your responsibilities as a mother will determine whether your future will be filled with joy and thanksgiving or with tears and regret. Only you, mother, can determine whether or not you're going to become that treasure to your children in that earthen vessel. I pray that God will get a hold of hearts and minds of mothers today and stir your heart for God. You can't skip the Scripture. You can't follow Spock and ignore Paul and expect to bring up children that will honor God and honor you in their life. Your children want to love their parents and honor them. God put it in them to do so. They want to thank God for you and be proud of you. But only mother can determine if you become their treasure or not. Then let me say, lastly, the only way a mother can truly fulfill her responsibility to her children is to be saved and to be right with God. You can't fulfill God's responsibility of raising up right children if you're not saved, know you're saved, and you're not living right with God. See, you can get saved and backslide. We've got saved mothers backslidden. Saved mothers making the mistakes I talked about. But you've not only got to be saved, you've got to live right with God. And if you're going to live right with God, you've got to be in agreement with the Scripture and the principles set forth in the Word of God. I've got to ask you, mother, are you saved? Daddy, are you saved? Kiddos, are you saved? Do you have a mother that cares whether or not you're going to spend eternity in heaven or hell? Are you saved? If so, if you are, then are you right with God? Are you living your life to please Him and honor Him? You say, preacher, there's some things that's not right. Then for goodness sake, there's no better time on this earth for you to get it right with God than today. But I say again, the only way a mother can truly fulfill her responsibility to her children and to her husband is to be saved and right with God. And I say in conclusion, today would be a great time for both mothers and fathers to dedicate their lives to God. If you're not saved, get saved today. If you are saved and you're not right with God, then get right. Do whatever you need to do to get right with God. You say, well, I don't know how to get right with God. Come down. There'll be someone here at the altar to help you this morning. There's no better time for you to dedicate your life and your home to God. Every boy and girl would like to look at Mama and say, she is God's treasure to me, a treasure in an earthen vessel. But Mama, only you can be the kind of mama that fits that testimony. You can't be that kind of mama if you're not saved. You can't be that kind of mama if you're not right. And nobody can get saved for you, and nobody can get right for you. So just as we have responsibility to our children, we have a responsibility for our own soul salvation, trusting Jesus personally and individually. And we have an individual responsibility to make sure we're right with God and we walk with God and we fulfill God's purpose for our life. And then maybe one day your children will say, that's my mama. She's a treasure from God in an earthen vessel. Father, that's our message this morning. Would you use it to speak to our hearts? We honor and praise you today for those mothers who have trusted you as Savior and who have dedicated themselves to you and are trying to live for you and honor you and glorify you with their life. We thank you for children that have been taught right and raised right. Children that have grown up to love you and love the church and love your book. And because of it, they love mom and dad and don't want to do anything to break their hearts or bring shame to their name. God, would you speak to our hearts? And especially mothers. It may be not only mothers needed this message. Daddies make the same mistakes. Daddies have the same needs. And daddies are the spiritual head of their family. And they can't be spiritual if they're not saved. And they can't be the spiritual leader if they're not right with God. Speak to their hearts. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one's looking around. I must ask.